All right, amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Good song. Appreciate that. Again, we will have the Lord's Supper at the end of the service, and I want to remind you that the reason I like to do that is to give everyone an opportunity to be prepared, as the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 11, that we need to examine ourselves, and certainly none of us are worthy of the salvation God's given us, but we ought to be saved, and we ought to be baptized, and we ought to be, as far as we know, right with the Lord when we observe the Lord's Supper. And so you have an opportunity, we'll give an invitation, and you'll have an opportunity to make any decisions you need to make, and I trust that we will all listen to the Holy Spirit, let Him guide us and direct us during the service and speak to our hearts, and that's why we came. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4, and we just can't seem to get away from this passage. We have been in Nehemiah 4 up to verse 12 now for about a month, and just so many good things, so many things to look at. We should, after tonight, move on past verse 12, I believe. But I could not go through this without stopping at verse 10 and spending a little more time on it. We've looked at it a couple times, but I want to spend a little time on it tonight and just deal with verse 10. It says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And those are very, very sad words right there at the end of that verse. We are not able to build. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. We are not able to build. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching of thy word. Thank you for all the music. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for prayer. And Lord, how we've prayed for our day today. And so we ask now that you will speak to our hearts through your word. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll guide and direct now into the truth of the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Sad words. Sad words to Nehemiah. Sad to any leader when it is said we're not able to build. I mean, we're building and everything's going well, but now all of a sudden we're just not able to build anymore. That's sad. That'd be sad to a parent, I believe, if they had a young person going to school. Say, I'm just not able to go on. I can't go on any further. I can't build. I can't grow. It's sad to say that the building has stopped. Stop growing. Stop building. However you want to put it. Certainly, here as we look at Scripture, we know the walls need to be built. We know that Satan certainly was pleased at that statement. And I believe that in a church or in a person's life, a Christian's life, certainly Satan would be pleased when the building stops. People aren't growing. Church isn't growing. I think Satan certainly is pleased at that. Several weeks ago, I preached about hinderers from this passage, verse 8. To hinder it. We talked about this group, especially in verse 10, Judah, the ones that they're supposed to be leaders. We talked a little bit about them and how they were the group that said, "We shall not." In other words, we're not able to build anymore. We shall not build. And the truth is, though, about them, that they really were able if they were willing to deal with the rubbish. So when they said we are not able to build, I mean, it was a true statement because they couldn't build with all the rubbish there. But the real fact of that thing was they needed to deal with the rubbish. I mean, the building was inevitable, and by the way, the walls were built because the rubbish was cleared out. But in reality, all they had to do is they were just tired of the rubbish. And they were tired of looking at the rubbish. They were tired of carrying the rubbish. They were tired of moving the rubbish. They were tired of cleaning up the rubbish. But if the walls are going to be built, if there's going to be growth, the rubbish has to go. Amen. The Bible commands us clearly to grow. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." God tells us, we are to grow. We're to desire His Word and so that we can grow. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:6, "Let us go on to perfection." What is that? That's growth. Let us go on. God doesn't want us to just be stagnant. He wants us to grow. He wants you to grow. He wants your family to grow. He wants our church to grow. He wants us individually to grow in the Lord. It just makes sense. The scripture says the wise men built upon the rock. We always preach about the rock, and we should. It's Jesus. But he built on it. Something was built on that rock. Jude 1 verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." In other words, we have the faith when we trusted Christ as Savior. We ask him to come into our hearts by faith. But what's he saying, Jude? He says, build on it. Build on it. Grow. Build. Grow. It's unnatural to not grow. Little Caitlin Hammerstrom and Trace Dixon. Boy, they're cute little kids. I'll tell you, it's exciting. And they're cute right now, but if they look like they do now, 20 years from now, we'll say, oh, what happened? Well, they'd still be cute, but it'd be kind of odd. Because it's natural to grow. It's unnatural to not grow. It's unnatural for something to not be built upon that is meant to be built upon. And the foundation, which is Christ, is meant to be built upon. The salvation that we received when we trusted Christ as our Savior, that's not the end of things. It's the beginning of things. And we are to grow and we are to keep growing until Jesus takes us home. Berean Baptist Church is supposed to grow. It's to continue to grow. It's not supposed to grow to a certain size and then stop. It's supposed to grow. It's supposed to grow inside. People are supposed to grow inside. I don't know, necessarily talk about numbers. I'm just saying we're supposed to always be growing constantly. Again, how powerful is our God if he can't build on, if he can't build upon that which he started? Or is there just too much rubbish? Because the truth of verse 10, it's a powerful verse. The truth of verse 10 is that we are not able to build. And we are not able to build because this rubbish is there. Now, if we get rid of that rubbish, as is proven in the book of Nehemiah, the rubbish is cleared out. If we get rid of that rubbish, we can build. You know, when someone says to me, "Pastor, I'm just not growing," the truth of the matter is, most of the time it's because there's rubbish. Yeah, I'll have people come all the time, "Well, you know, I've just reached a point in my Christian life, I'm not growing anymore." And sometimes that's a good testimony of the fact that there's just rubbish there. There's stuff there that is keeping you from building on what is already there. And we need to grow. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, you need to grow. Doesn't matter how long you've been in Christian service, you need to grow. Doesn't matter, if you're not reading your Bible more and praying more and walking with God closer and growing like that, then really there's something wrong. We should all be growing in the Lord. Let me just give you 3 points tonight. I'm very burdened about this, as Nehemiah was, I'm sure, and as any leader would be. We're not able to build. Number one, we see the reality of the rubbish. The reality of the rubbish. Now here, as we've talked about already, dealing with verse 10, this rubbish is the result of the captivity that took place years before. It's the old walls, it's the old block, it's the old wood, it's the destruction that was left over during the captivity. Every time, by the way, one of the great things I believe that affected the folks that were trying to deal with that was every time they looked at it, it reminded them of how they'd been defeated. Remember, there's an enemy out there after them even now that is threatening them and telling them that they're going to attack at any time. And every time they lift one of those blocks or raise one of those timbers, they've got to be thinking, this is when we were defeated before. But again, could I remind you, the reason they were defeated was because of sin. The captivity came about because of their own sin. The captivity came about, the defeat came about, the destruction was there because of sin. The people refused to do what God said. They were warned by the preachers. They were warned in church, just like you're being warned, just like we are warned week after week, just like we're warned in our Sunday school classes and in our junior churches and in our church services, just like we're warned when we read our Bibles. I mean, sin always has a price. Sin always has destruction attached to it. There's always pain. There's always sorrow. There's always rubbish. It's always there. You know, sin always looks good, but when it's finished, it bringeth forth death, and it always brings rubbish. Always. Always. But here's the thing about this. It can be cleaned up, and it has to be cleaned up if there's going to be any building going on. The walls, in fact, years ago, I preached a message called You Can't Build Walls on Rubbish. And this is not, it's kind of similar, but not quite. But that's the truth. You can't build walls on rubbish. I've remodeled. Many of you have remodeled. Gideon knows all about remodeling. And when you remodel something, you got to clean everything out first. If you're going to put a new wall in, or you're going to take a wall out and put another one in, or something like that, you got to tear up the old wall, and then you got all the junk. I remember David's house when he was remodeling that. Had a bunch of teen boys come and take out an old chimney. And that was so exciting. That was so exciting because the one thing they hadn't thought about with that old chimney was soot. And old soot is just an exciting thing. And those boys, I mean, some of them, they came out black as they could be. And it was exciting. And but what a pain. You know, the building's not so tough. It's that cleanup that's a pain. By the way, if we made our lives where we didn't have a lot of cleanup, we'd sure save ourselves a lot of trouble, wouldn't we?
Right,
honestly, we'd say if we just would do it right the first time, and we wouldn't have all the destruction and all the pain and all the sorrow. Hey, teenagers, that's what we're trying to keep you from. That's why I walked by the teen room and I heard Brother Jared preaching his message, and I didn't have to walk by the teen room. I probably could have been out in the parking lot because he was yelling, he was hollering, he was screaming, and he was warning, and he was saying, "Hey, let me get your attention." And I could just imagine, Brother Jared, there were a couple of them going, "Oh, brother." And you know what? You're just asking for rubbish in your life. Someday you'll have to have someday you'll get a burden to build. Someday you'll get a burden to grow. Someday you'll have your own children and you'll want to do something for God and you'll want to be a good testimony, and you'll have to get out the old scoop shovel and start scooping out all that rubbish. And you know what? It'll make you really tired, and you'll say, "I sure wish I would have listened to that man as he preached to me. I wish I'd have listened to Pastor Rogers. Wish I would have listened to Brother Barnum. Wish I would have paid attention in chapel. I wish I would have listened to them, and I wouldn't have all this rubbish to clean out just so I can build." Anybody here who has scooped up rubbish will tell you there's just nothing fun about it. But it is a reality. It's there. You know, we become so many times, and we can look at this like a building. We can look at it like another illustration that the Bible gives. We can become full of rubbish. We can become so full of rubbish, there's no hunger for things of God. Happens all the time. Proverbs 27:7 says, "To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." That's to the hungry soul. You know, the hungry soul, even bitterness won't get you down. To the hungry soul, even nasty things like turnips, if you're hungry enough, you'll take them. And I got news for you. There's plenty of turnips in life. And there's some turnips in life that if you're hungry, you just say, "Praise God," and you go on. But boy, so many people quit because they're not hungry because they're so full of rubbish. I think about being full of rubbish, and I think of what the Bible says in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you know if you come to church hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God says, "I'll give it to you." God says, "I'll teach you." God says, "I will fill you. I'll give you joy. I'll give you peace." God says, "I'll give you a purpose in your life." God says, "If you are hungry, I'll fill you." But we come and we're not hungry. I don't remember where it was. Somebody was feeding a baby. And I can't remember where that was. But it could be anywhere. It could be going on right now. But they were on the good stuff, you know, strained peas or something like that. How do people think up stuff like that? But anyway, and what about a strained pizza? How's that sound? But anyway, they were having, is there such a creature? I don't know. You know, nowadays you never know. But they were giving them strained peas or something like that. And that child, honestly, it was hilarious. I mean, you watch a kid when they're hungry, they'll take that stuff right down. This child was not hungry. I don't remember where this was. But anyway, they put it in their mouth and they went, poof. And so they, and some of it went down here and they scooped on it a little bit and put it back in there and went, poof. And they just, and you know, that reminds me of people in church. Honestly, I guarantee, Brother Jared, as you preached in the teen room, I guarantee somebody took what you said and they said, just like a little baby who's full. I don't have any room for that. I don't have room for righteousness. I don't have room for doing right. I don't have room for the things of God. I don't have room to do those kinds of things. There's too much in here. And they just spit it out. Sometimes as a pastor, I feel like I'm force feeding because people aren't hungry. And you can't build on that. Sometimes in a Christian school, I feel like we're force feeding. And you can't build walls. You can't build on that. There's no way to build. You preach and you teach and you have Bible class and you give the Word of God. And God says, boy, if you're hungry, I'll fill you. And every now and then there'll be a young person who like a little bird when their mom's coming, their mouth is open and they're wanting to be fed. And yet most of the people, so many, are saying, I don't want that. I'm too full. I can't take anything else. Because you're full of rubbish. I long for members to hunger for righteousness. I mean to hunger for righteousness. Yeah. To come to church hungry and wanting God to do something. I long for students in our school to be hungry. To be hungry for righteousness. To say, I want to do right. I want God's will. I'm not perfect. And I know I'm not, but I want to be perfect. I want to please God. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Psalms 107, verse 9 says, for he satisfieth a longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. But you will not be hungry as long as you're full of rubbish. You will not be able to take in the righteousness that God has and the goodness that God has as long as you're full of rubbish. I just kind of listed some rubbish. Pastors are good at lists. Preachers are good at lists. And I just listed some rubbish because I think about what I want to see so desperately in our lives. Sometimes you say, well, preacher, can I be a Christian and have this rubbish? Yeah, but you can't build. You can't grow. Can I be a Christian and do these things? Yeah, but you can't grow. Because you can't build walls on rubbish. One rubbish I counsel about all the time is thought rubbish. And the old computer term, garbage in, garbage out, is so true. You know, you put it in your mind, it's there. There's stuff in my mind from my teen years, age 12, 13, 14 years old. That was a long time ago. 30, 35, 36 years ago. And it's still there. But garbage in, garbage out. And I have to deal with that. And it's a battleground. Ezekiel called it the chambers of his imagery. And all kinds of nasty stuff's in there. People say, I don't want to think about this. I don't want this in my mind. But your thought rubbish, I'm telling you, it'll keep you from building every time. Look with me, if you will, at Psalm 133. Familiar verses. Psalms 133, verse 23. Uh-oh, I messed up. That's not right. That was this morning. All right, where's my verse? Somebody, I can't believe this. Well, Psalms is pretty big. Isn't that terrible? I can't believe I wrote that down. All right, go to Jeremiah 4:14. Somebody's going to think of that verse that I'm looking for. I just found it, Psalm 139, verse 23. I don't know why I wrote that down. Better change that. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Do you really... I mean, listen, I dare you to pray that prayer before the invitation. Many of you, some of you teenagers, you've got thoughts in your life that are absolutely wicked. Just like Ezekiel, these chambers of his imagery, they're full of things that just wicked stuff that you have allowed in there. Ask God to search you. Ask God to turn on his searchlight. Try me. Know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thought rubbish. Jeremiah 4, verse 14. Jeremiah 4, verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. Notice what he says. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? You say, I'm having troubles with my thought life. Well, don't you think it's time to deal with it? I mean, you know, I like the wording here in Jeremiah. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? I remember my grandparents had renters, and they had a decent house. We always called it the house on the corner. And they rented to people all the time. They got some renters in there one time that were just tearing everything up. I mean, they had trash all around the house and everything. Finally, Grandpa and Grandma said, look, you're going to have to move out of here. We can't have you tearing up our house, you know. And sure enough, you know, and I remember that I was just a little kid, and I remember when those people moved out. I mean, they left trash. We had to clean that house out, all that trash, all that garbage and everything. But they had to kick those people out of there. You know what God's saying here? He said, how long are you going to let these bad renters lodge in your house? How long are you going to let these thoughts stay in your mind? How long are you going to let them run your life? I mentioned the things that are sometimes come from the past, but I've got things in my life, and you've heard me say this. The old rock songs come back, and I've got Christian songs to combat those rock songs. So I do not find myself sitting singing those old songs. And I mean, immediately, when if I'm in a store or something, and all of a sudden one of those old songs comes up, immediately a Christian song comes up to fight that. Why? Because I don't want those thoughts. I don't want wicked thoughts. I don't want cussing. I don't want swearing. I don't want those kinds of things. I've got to kick those thoughts out of my mind. And I got to stop putting things in that are wrong too. We all do. Do you understand if you think something, you're just one step away from doing it? So many, if you would just stop it at the thought, if you would just cut it off right there, but you dwell and dwell and dwell, those are bad renters in your mind. Do not let them lodge there any longer. Thought rubbish will keep you from growing. Thought rubbish will keep you from building in your life. You need to kick it out. And you need to quit putting bad stuff in. And I'm telling you, you know, again, we tell young people all the time, but it's not just young people, it's everybody. The more garbage you put in, the more you are going to have to scoop out if you ever want to grow. And I would venture to say someday you are going to want to do something. Amen. Past rubbish is another thing. Thought rubbish, past rubbish. You know, in our text, we're talking about the defeat of the children of Israel. We're talking about a defeat that was because of their sin, and it was a reminder of the past. You know, we got to clean that up. Get those timbers out of there. Get those blocks out of there. I mean, you know, that reminds people all the time of their defeat. And you and I, we don't need to be reminded of a past defeat. We need to move forward and press toward the mark and not look behind at those past defeats. Past rubbish. I counsel people all the time about past rubbish. Get it out. Just like Brother Teff preached. Let it go. Bitterness needs to be gone. Get it out of your life. Whatever you have to do, get it right, get it over with so that you can grow. Because as long as that burnt up piece of timber is there, you're never going to put a wall on that. As long as those blocks are there, you're never going to be able to build on that, ever. And nothing will happen. The sin which does so easily beset us, that place you've given Satan. Neither give place to the devil. That thing from the past where you have allowed him to get a hold in your life and he brings you down every time. Time to get victory over it. It's time to get victory and get that thing, that rubbish, out of your life so you can start building and growing and being what God wants you to be. Whatever it was that stopped you in the past, it's time to get victory over it, and it's time to say, you know what, I'm going to build. I'm going to grow. Amen. Past rubbish. Traditions. Boy, Jesus got after the Pharisees, didn't he, on the traditions? Traditions of men. I mean, you know, honestly, forget some of that stuff. Do what God says to do. By the way, if you want to amen in church, amen. Sometimes I feel like there's a black hand of death. Go ahead and smile. It'll be okay. You know, it's like the black hand of death over the heads of people, squashing any joy, any excitement, any amens. I don't want people just to be a show. Amen. I'm not interested. But you know what? If you agree and you're not afraid, say amen. It's okay. It's, you know, that stuff's rubbish. Well, we ain't never done it. That's rubbish too. Amen. It's just rubbish. Habit rubbish. You say, well, can I be a Christian and have bad habits? You can, but you're going to have a hard time building on it. I'm just telling you, you're going to have a hard time. Cussing, it's hard to build anything for God on cussing. It really is. It's hard. Smoking, it's hard to build anything on smoking. Drinking, it's tough. It drags you down. You're going to have a hard time building on rubbish like that. You need to get victory over these habits. You say, well, I've been trying. Have you been to RU every Friday night? Then you're not really trying. Amen. There are folks all over this room. You need to go on Friday night to RU and break some of these bad habits. And you'll have, then you can grow. I mean, come on, you're the one. You come and you say, Pastor, I'm just not growing. I'm trying to help you grow. As long as the old rubbish from defeat, as long as the old rubbish of bad habits, as long as the past rubbish is in your way, you'll never be able to build a wall on that. You'll never be able to do anything. You can't grow. We are not able to build because all the rubbish. Unloving rubbish. You know, we're commanded, and we've been talking about this in John 15. We're commanded, love one another. Love one another. That means put up with the quirks that everybody has. That's what we have to do. It means to pray for one another. It means to help one another. It means to go to one another. If you have a problem with somebody, go to them and get it settled. I mentioned this morning. Most of the problems you have with people in your church, nobody meant to hurt you. Misunderstanding, they messed up, whatever. But it wasn't meant. If you would just ask them, if you just talk to them, it wasn't what you have built it up to be now. But if you just would have gone to them, Satan is laughing. And you know what? Unloving rubbish is just that. You can't build on it. There's folks, there's somebody, wonder what he's talking about. He's talking about the Bible. That's what he's talking about. There is no hidden message. We're supposed to love each other. It's not hidden. It's out in the open. We're supposed to love one another. It's commanded by God. We're supposed to put up with weirdness of each other. We're supposed to, look, you say, preacher, I just don't want to confront anybody. That's why you don't go to them, but you go to everybody else. Which is unbiblical, which is out of hell, and which causes division and causes strife, and it keeps rubbish in your heart. And you can't grow. It's not possible. Unloving rubbish, unkind rubbish. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why can't we get this stuff right with God? And I'm telling you, until that happens in our lives, we can't build. It is not possible. We are not able to build because of all this rubbish. But the truth is, we'd rather put a blanket over it, put a lace doily over it, and just kind of pretend that it's not there. But you know what? All that time, we're not building. And all that time in your life, you're not growing. Gossip rubbish. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:11. You say, why do you keep talking about gossip? Because it keeps going on. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. It was in the early church. It is today. And it's rubbish. Sowing discord, which God says He hates. What is sowing discord? It's to turn somebody against somebody else with words. It's to take a beautiful song and make discord out of the notes so that instead of there being melody and harmony, there's melody and discord, and it never sounds good. And this is your church. And it's rubbish. Itching ear rubbish. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. Says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear things. They want to hear negative things. Itching ears. There ought to be some kind of a powder for that, wouldn't you think? But there's not. There is the Bible. You see, here's the problem with this rubbish. You hear so much negative about somebody, about something. You hear so much negative, you don't even pay attention to the positive. Because all you see is the negative. Because you're listening for it. I said this many, many times, and I mean this with all my heart. I don't want to hear negative. I'd rather not know. Now, I know a lot of stuff. People come and they say, Pastor, here's what happened. And it's about them and it's their life. I'd rather not know. There's something right now that's weighing on my heart very, very heavy. And I wish I didn't know. I wish anybody else knew. And anybody else was trying to. In fact, now I just thought of another thing. And I wish I didn't know. See, you want to know because you want to talk about it. You want to be a part. You want to be the sheriff, you know. I'd rather not know. I wish I didn't have to know. You see, I want to think positive about people and about what's going on, because I want to build and I want to grow. And you know, itching ear rubbish it will destroy your life. It'll also keep a church from being able to grow. Surmising rubbish. You can't build a relationship when you think evil about people. That's what surmising is. It's to think evil of people. And the Bible says, love thinketh no evil. Amen. Surmising. The Bible talks about evil surmising. And you can't build on that. A church can't grow on that. Read the book of Acts. Do you know who the bad guys weren't within? The bad guys were without. Within, they loved each other. In fact, the world knew they were Christians by their love one toward another. The lost people got saved because they saw the people loved each other. And they said, well, tell us about that. Talked about this morning in Sunday school. It's not our It's not our stained glass windows. It's not our cross back here. It's not our sign. It's not our buildings. It's not our preaching. It's not our nursery. It's not our facilities that we have here. It's love one toward another. That's how they'll know we're Christians. We can tell them all we want. We can say it. We can put it on our tracks. But they'll know we're Christians by our love one toward another. How do we treat each other? Well, if you're surmising, if you're thinking evil, you can't be good. If somebody says, "Hey, how you doing?" and you walk away from them, that can't be good. You say, "Well, they wronged me." Then get it right. Get it right in their face, eyeball to eyeball, and don't leave until it's settled. So you can be friends. Amen. Just get it settled. And I mean, how hard is that? Love thinketh no evil. Some of your marriages, you surmise so much about each other. Love thinketh no evil. I'm getting close to the end of the list. Then there's worldly rubbish. Oh, you say that. We knew that was coming. You know, worldly rubbish. Well, it's popular. Yeah, you saw it on American Idol. Parents, why in the world would you ever let your kid... Why would you sit down with your kids and watch? Why would that be on in your house? Amen. I don't even understand. I can't imagine. But when our kids come to school dressed like that, somebody saw it somewhere. American Idol, American idolatry. But I don't even want to talk about that. That's just a little blip on the radar here. Worldly rubbish. You can't build on that. You're not going to build in your life on that. It's not possible. See, the problem is a hunger for the world. The problem is a hunger for worldly things. It's why you know, our young ladies, the tops get lower and tighter, which is right out of hell. And why the parents allow it. And why now it's popular for underwear to be seen, whether it's just hanging out of a shirt or whether it's hanging out of coming out of the top or whatever, whether it's a strap or something like that. And you know, to be honest with you, Christian, I understand the world doing that, but I don't understand Christians doing that. I do not understand why Christians would live that way. It's rubbish. And it's time to clean it up. Worldly rubbish. It's a hunger. By the way, you know, you wonder why your kids want their kind of music. It's because you've got Christian entertainers in your house with their drums and drum sets, and the kids say, "Well, we don't understand," and you have nothing to tell them because it's the same beat. All right, go ahead and take a breath for a second. And then there's rebellious rubbish. Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. You know. Rebellion is just going against authority. Parents want their children to obey them, but then they run down their children's teacher. Hello? I've had staff before that give demerits to students for talking, and then they talk when I'm talking in staff meeting. In fact, there was one year I almost gave demerits to staff. I just wasn't sure how we would punish them. I didn't know if staying after school would be punishment or not. In-house suspension. Hello. You say, "Well, there, you know, that's different." It isn't any different. Authority is authority. And by the way, if you keep having roast preacher, you're destroying authority to your kids. If you have roast youth pastor, you're destroying authority to your kids. If you're having roast Sunday school teacher, you're destroying authority to your kids. If you go home and have roast deacon, you're destroying authority to your children. And no wonder they're rebellious because they get it at home. My Bible says in Hebrews 11:7, "Remember them which have the rule over you." And I don't think the "remember" there is to remember for bad. I think it's to remember for good. And the context is the pastor. And verse 17 says, "Obey and submit." And we think, "Nobody's going to tell me." That's what your children say. Rebellious rubbish. You can't build on it. It's impossible. We cannot build. Mixed multitude rubbish. Slowed down the children of Israel, right? because of the mixed multitude. I'm working on a message on the mixed multitude, but they had their own agenda. I mean, they wanted to go with the children of Israel, but they had their own agenda. And they brought the rubbish with them that they liked. And it influenced all the others. Are you listening? It influenced them so much, they all said, why came we forth out of Egypt? Why came we forth out of Egypt? Do you mean that the mixed multitude and their influence actually caused somebody to say, why did I get saved in the first place? Yeah. Why came we forth? And made them miss the garlics and the leeks and the melons of Egypt and the shackles and the whips and the slavery and the bondage of sin. Mixed multitude rubbish. It is rubbish that stops the building. It stops the growth. I preached in chapel. You knew this was coming. I preached in chapel. I don't know when it was. It's been a while. But anyway, I preached on your name. And I talked about all of our students. And the 7th grade through 12th grade has to sign their name to an agreement. And there's a certain agreement that they make. And so I had one verse written down. And then I had that agreement with me, and I took a whole chapel time on that agreement. And I talked about people's names. And I talked about keeping your word and doing what you say you're going to do. And to be honest with you, I didn't realize exactly how the thing was going to go. I just knew that there were a lot of liars who signed their name and had no clue or had no desire or plan to ever carry out what those things said, which is why we all have to sign so many papers just to get a loan. Because there's people that are not true with their name. But you see, here's what I'm after, all right? Now, I'll just be real blunt on a Sunday night. What I'm after is, I'm after people who are not of the mixed multitude. They're not of the other side that just really want Egypt. I'm after folks to want heaven. I really want a Christian school where people want righteousness. Amen. I mean, honestly, and to be honest with you, I got a feeling that the majority of folks want that. Amen. In their Christian school. I think that's why Berean Baptist Academy was started. Was to have people that want to do right. Now, we have a lot of good public school kids in our church, and I love them very, very much. I love them as much as I love anybody. If you go to a public school, you are not a second-class citizen here. Your pastor loves you. I'll do whatever I have to do for you. You can call me just like anybody else can call me. But the truth of the matter is, several have said, well, we'd like to come to your school, and I say, well, are you willing to do this? And, well, no, I don't want to. Then you just keep coming to our church, and I will love you. I'll be your pastor, and we want you in our church. But it drives me nuts when that same person will come to me and say, well, these kids go to your school, but they're... Oh. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, if you don't agree, don't come. And I mean that. I said that in chapel. I was surprised I did not get one nasty letter yet. Yet. The truth is, you will save yourself huge amounts of griping and complaining if you just don't come. You go to the public school, you could do your thing there. You can have your nose pierced and wear a chain all the way down to your toe. Hooking up 5 or 6 places along the way. And nobody's going to say a thing. I'm serious. And you know what? You can come to our church and your preacher will love you. I will not be against you. I promise you that. But don't agree to something that you're not going to do. Amen. Don't agree to something that's going to make you miserable. I got parents. I promise you, there's people sitting here running, oh, get him. I should have worn my bulletproof vest, except I don't have one. Hey, you ought to think about it because it's rubbish. We're trying to build something here. Amen. We're trying to grow And the truth of the matter is, if people, why come where you're going to be miserable? Now, I challenge you this summer to get right with God. Amen. I challenge you this summer to walk with God and try it. It's like I preached this morning. You know, you say, well, I just don't feel like doing all those things. Well, do them anyway, and just keep doing them, and keep doing them, and keep doing them, and keep doing them, and read your Bible, and pray, and come to church, and go to youth meeting, and go to all the preaching you can, and just do it, and you might be surprised what will happen in your life. But you know what? If you're a rebel, if you want to live for the world, just like talking during church, you say, well, you can't see. You'd be shocked what I see. You'd be amazed. And you know, if that is your intent, and you're going to just roll your eyes in chapel, I don't want eyes rolled. Okay, I don't believe I deserve to have eyes rolled at me. I don't think the man of God, they roll their eyes at the man of God in the Old Testament, and the she-bears came out and devoured him. So you don't roll your eyes at the man of God. You don't roll your eyes at the youth director. You don't roll your eyes at a Sunday school teacher. You don't roll your eyes. By the way, parents, they learn that from their parents in many cases. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I'm tired of rubbish because I want to move forward. And it is a reality. And you know what? You say, preacher, you shouldn't have. You know, you didn't need to say, I got a whole other page, but I'm not going to deal with that. But, you can only put lace on it for so long. Right. And the truth is, you cannot really make rubbish pretty. It's nasty. Here's the thing. If I believe this. If God had to choose big but stagnant or small but growing, I think he'll take small but growing.
Amen.
Best is big and growing.
Amen.
But you got to get rid of rubbish. Let me give you my last 2 points. That was just number one. Hard to believe, isn't it? Reality of rubbish. Number two is removal of rubbish. We're not able to build, but you remove the rubbish and you can. You can't just talk about it. You can't build on it. That's, you know, churches all over America are building on their rubbish. They're taking the world, and they're copying the world, and they're building, and they're not getting a thing out of it.
Right.
Nothing. I don't know how many people from the church over here that's meeting in the, whatever it's called, why can't I think of it? Anyway, over here at the Family Center. I don't know how many people I meet from there that are not saved. Well, we're members there. Don't criticize me. It'll be all right. I know what I'm talking about. They're not saved. They don't even know how to be saved. They're having a good time. That's because it's built on rubbish. I mean, anytime you build on the world and the world's philosophy, and you can call it church, you can call it a club, you can call it whatever you want to call it. It's rubbish if it's not built on the Word of God.
Amen.
You can't build on it. You can't build around it. You can't talk about it. You got to deal with it. David's rubbish. He committed adultery and murder, and when he was confronted, he had to choose when he was confronted, all right, what am I going to do with it? You can be a Christian and have rubbish, but you're not able to build. And I can and I will preach against it. I can and I will administrate against it. But the truth is, you in your life have to choose what to do with the rubbish. And I have to choose what to do with my rubbish. When David was confronted by the man of God, "Thou art the man," David said, "I have sinned." And he said, "Enough of the rubbish." Number three is the replacement of rubbish. How many will stand before God with a half-built life? How sad. You know, you're the one not building. Replace the rubbish with good construction. Real quick, let me give you some verses. Romans 12. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look what he says. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's called replacing rubbish. That's renewing your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing your mind. Philippians 4, verses 7 and 8. And I've got, I don't know how many people are memorizing these verses in just the last couple of months. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God. Wouldn't you like to have that? The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What's that, preacher? That's replacement of rubbish that's building on an area where the rubbish has been cleared out. Amen. Let me close. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. And verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Notice what he says. From such, withdraw thyself. And I'm going to tell you something. You are going to have to learn to walk away from rubbish. You are going to have to learn to walk away from gossip. You're going to have to learn to walk away from garbage. You're going to have to learn to walk away from evil surmising. You're going to have to learn to walk away. You know, you're going to be tested right after this service. Somebody's going to get you cornered and say, what'd you think of that message? They always purse their lips. You know what you need to do? You need to walk away. Some of you teenagers need to get away from people that are spreading garbage. Just get away. Because you know what? I've learned this, that where garbage goes is called a trash can. So if you receive it, all right, you just draw your own analogy from that. Huh? All I'm trying to do is help people build tonight. And I've never, ever, 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 ever tried to be popular. And I'm not trying to be popular. I just want people to be able to build. Your life, your family, this church, to build, to grow. And it's impossible. We're not able to build, Judah said. Well, yeah, you are, Judah. You really are, because God's still God. Amen? Foundation's still the foundation. God's still able. You just got a clean house. You got to get your scoop shovel out. And you got to clean up all the rubbish. Get it out. Let's bow our heads, please.